The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/JURY. Again, patreon.com/JURY. But enough talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Justin Robert Young Podcast. My name, indeed, is Justin Robert Young. A few admissions at the top of the show. Number one, this is a... this mic is haunted. This is a program that does not have a tremendous amount of prep. Little prep, one story, a couple emails... Otherwise, not a lot of prep. It is also a show that for many of you and your podcasting habits is late. I know very, very well from making a career in creating podcasting that having a podcast not show up in your feed at the time that you are expecting it to can very often feel like getting stood up on a date. You are building on some level your schedule around the reliability of this programming, free though it might be. Big shout out to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/jury. But in general, the vast majority of the people that listen to me are, it is free entertainment, but I take it seriously. I take our relationship seriously. I mean, seriously enough that I am going to eat some soup while this show's on. But other than that, other than my occasional soup eating, we are going to be a very professional program. Here's why the show was late this week, and it will be late going forward. We are moving this show to Thursdays. Because, as many wise people who watch me live pointed out, I was doing just way too fucking much on Tuesdays. My Tuesday schedule was TMS... A Twitch stream in between, unfriend me, little break for lunch, then jury, then night attack. And night attack goes anywhere between 4 and 5 hours. So, we are now moving this show to a later time, or sorry, a 10 o'clock or so on Thursdays, a much lighter day for me. And hopefully it will just kind of give the show a little bit more time to breathe and not put it in between three other far more listened to shows with Unfriend Me, TMS, and Night Attack. There's just no way that in a Tuesday I could put my full energy toward this show. And this show has always been experimental. This was the show where I first wanted to take my first steps into talking about politics. And now the politics has become a bigger part of my life. This was the first show where I wanted to do comedy bits, and that's become a consistently bigger part of my life. This has been the first show where I had an active emailing audience, and that has kind of spun out into many others. So I want the next thing that we want to do with this to be able to flourish. DVZgon says, wait, we're your unwilling test subjects? No. Think of us more like a commune. This is more like a cult, right? We're all going to go wherever the hell we want. And this is going to be the place that we will do it. So, in that mode, I am going to open up our phone lines. Again, 510-404-8030. That is 510-404-8030. Feel free to call in with whatever you have on your mind. We did have a recommendation that one of the interviews that we did, or one of the, should probably turn that off. One of the calls that we got here was about somebody being upset that the Craigslist personals were gone. And, you know, he detailed how much he got laid on the Craigslist personals, and a lot of people found that very, very, very interesting. I apologize for that loud sound. I will do my best to edit that out of the podcast, but for everybody who was here live, I apologize. There was a loud sound. If I edited this out of the podcast, then know that before I apologized for everybody listening to a loud sound, there was indeed a loud sound. But somebody emailed in, and I forget whether I put it in here or not. There was the suggestion that people just call in whenever we go live, that you can call in with something odd or a confession. That is going to be the theme of the call-ins. That this has always been a very confessional podcast. I have confessed a lot on this show that I probably would have never. But if you want an opportunity to get something off your chest, some slightly weird element, a quirk of society that you feel comfortable talking about, then this is the place that you can do it. 510-404-8030. But before we get there, I'm just at some point during this episode, I'm going to call Tom Merritt, which is normally what we would do in this spot, is we would talk to Tom Merritt and talk about some combination of tech stuff from me being on DTNS later in the day. But we're just going to go wherever the hell we want. I'm going to surprise Tom. Tom may or may not be aware that this is happening, but he is going to be a part of today's jury show, should he pick up his Skype. Before we get there, though, let's go with this article that got sent to us. This was from MelMagazine.com. My college girlfriend thought the Mormon dick soak would preserve her virginity. The article goes as follows. Some call it soaking, others parking, marinating, or the Provo float. My personal favorite is the Dock and Talk. Oh my God, Dr. Bird is still loose. Oh, my God. Dr. Bird is live here on the show. The definition, however, remains the same every time. When a man inserts his penis inside a woman's vagina and that's it. No thrusting, no grinding, no climax. Just pop it in and hold the fuck still. It's like planking. Only your dick's inside of a Mormon, Urban Dictionary explains. The maneuver was allegedly popularized by Brigham Young University, a Mormon institution famous for insisting its students abide by church-dictated chastity. A Redditor easily remembered explains in the r/ex-Mormon forum, soaking is considered by some, including the church, to be a loophole. He remembers the term insertion without thrusting being used freely at Sunday lessons attended by teenage boys, adult leaders, and a bishop. Man, you know that sex tips are legit when the bishop shows up. Sexually frustrated Mormons and evangelical Christians alike have adopted soaking as the next big thing in premarital sex. Case in point, the filthiest corndog, whom I met in r/cringepics, a subreddit featuring images depicting awkward or embarrassing social interactions. In corndog's second year of college, at a state school in Indiana, he started rounding third base with a very religious virgin named Ashley. And we now read from the filthiest corndog's description of his experience with the Mormon soak. But before that, what do we think? What do we think about this? Number one, is there anybody in this crowd right now, either listening on podcast or watching live, that has any idea what is going on with the Mormon soak? The idea that a bunch of horned up kids would place a penis into a vagina and then just kind of leave it there. Doc and talk is the best. Here we go. This is what it is from the horse's mouth. I was 21. She was 20. She was Presbyterian, but the attachment to her virginity had more to do with not wanting to displease her father than the religious aspect of it. She had a purity ring that she wore on her left finger from her dad that represented her promise to remain a virgin until she was married. I, on the other hand, wasn't religious at all. In fact, I probably could have been considered an anti-theist back then. I would actively seek out conversation and arguments with theists to get them to question their beliefs because I felt religion was manipulative and harmful. This guy, by the way, one of my least favorite people on the planet. One of my least favorite people on the planet are atheists that want to argue about religion with people who are religious. If you are that guy, you are allowed to do it. That's fine. However, please consider stopping. Your old pal Jerry would like you to please consider stopping arguing with religious people. It's just a useless thing that says more about you than it does about them. We continue with the filthiest corndog. Her and I would fool around often, dry humping and performing oral sex. But she was adamant about maintaining her virginity. I wasn't a virgin. I'd had a previous long-term relationship with regular sex with two other partners besides that. Brag about it, the filthiest corndog. We dated for a little more than a year, and our fooling around got progressively a little bit more intense until it was both of us naked, and I was just rubbing the shaft of my penis up against her clitoris to bring her to orgasm. Oh, my God. That really is. I mean, that's, you know, you're pretty much all the way there at that point. The first time we soaked, that is a great fucking subject. I cannot wait for the predicate. The first time we soaked, we were on the floor of my living room and she just asked me to put it in but not move it around. We never referred to it as anything in particular. We just did it. I think if I'd given it a name like soaking or floating, she would have been pretty upset. It wasn't premeditated. She just had a strong desire to have sex and was willing to push the boundaries of her virginity as far as her sensibilities would allow. There wasn't anything special to this maneuver. We would just lay in the missionary position, motionless, but it was hot as hell. All of that buildup and anticipation made it super exciting. Needless to say, it didn't last long. After maybe 2 minutes of just lying there motionless as I could. I pulled out and came on her stomach. Whoa! Whoa! Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That shit was good enough that he just pulled it out and squirted? I didn't know. Maybe there is fucking something to this Mormon shit. Like, it got that dude that fucking pumped? It got the dogs pumped? Oh, my God. After maybe 2 minutes of lying there motionless as I could, I pulled out and came on her stomach. He then adds, I don't think she came. Yeah, you sure? She was most definitely still considering herself a virgin after that, continuing to wear the ring and alluding to it in our private conversations. I don't know what her rationale was, but she still said she was going to wait until she was married to have sex. We did it 3 or 4 more times after that. There was always squirming on both of our parts, but never any real thrust. I guess squirming is technically moving, but it's not like her preacher was reffing the event. I was inside of her. It felt good. And sometimes we would kind of grind involuntarily. It was torturous for both of us, but it was going as far as she could justify going. No rules were laid out, but she did clench me up and ask me to stop moving if I was getting too wiggly. Never has the phrase wiggle it, but just a little bit made more sense. What was she getting out of it? Probably the same thing I was. It felt good. Maybe not as good as full-on sex, but she wouldn't know that, and she was too ashamed, guilty, scared to find out. The other dimes certainly seemed more satisfying for her than me, though I'm only making assumptions off her physical reactions during the act. We didn't talk about it too much afterward. It was just something that would happen if we were really getting hot and heavy. Personally, I was mostly just frustrated. My satisfaction was only from the anticipation the first time we did it. The other times, we would always finish with oral and the like. She cried a few times about it because she felt like she was violating a sacred oath, but still asked me to do it occasionally when we were fooling around. We only stopped because I broke up with her, in no small part because I was incredibly sexually frustrated. I was still enamored with her. I just wasn't going to play this pseudo-sex game anymore. Of course, there were other issues too, yada, 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 yada. But the floating didn't help. I found it a little emasculating as well. I mean, way to make it all about you, the filthiest corn dog. I mean, come on. Found it a little emasculating. Though this wasn't something that I fully grasped at the time. I'd always assumed that her desire to keep her virginity would pass, especially because of how far we'd gone when we were fooling around. Once we floated, I thought for sure it was only a matter of time before we went the rest of the way. When I started to realize that that might not happen, I began to wonder if there was something wrong with me. Oh, man. Never have I boomeranged on a paragraph so quickly than I have right now with the filthiest corn dog. By the way, we are now at 69 viewers on Twitch. Nice. We'd gone so far that in my mind I'd already taken her virginity. Why then was she so unwilling to admit that to herself? I began to think she was unwilling to admit the loss of her virginity because I wasn't the kind of man she wanted to lose it to. That messed with me on a subconscious level and made me resentful. We would talk about it, which was one of the ways I found out that she still solidly considered herself a virgin. She was adamant about maintaining it until she was married, and it had nothing to do with my sexual prowess. Later on, I realized we would have never stayed together even if we had had sex. I respected her, but I think we knew after dating for a year our relationship wasn't going to end in marriage. We gave it a good go, but we weren't all that compatible for a long-term relationship. She wasn't about to marry an atheist, and at the time, I wasn't about to marry a Christian. Plus, I was pretty hard-headed and liked to argue, and she was pretty hard-headed and liked to argue. So what happened to the purity ring? I don't know. I do know she still wore it regularly when we broke up, and that she's married with a daughter now, and she's probably been replaced.
by a wedding band. The Mormon soak, ladies and gentlemen, although this story about the Mormon soak involves a Presbyterian, which I feel like should violate some sort of unwritten law. Just another pilot in our chat room says, it was still better for me. Just another pilot is I think, getting fairly confessional here in the chat. It was better for me that the chick that was a virgin because she only did anal, but that's because that chick wouldn't give it up to me. I've heard that there is certainly, you know, the vagina is God's hole, so you can do as you will with your butt. But is that different for Mormons? Do Mormons consider the butt God's hole too? We're asking a lot of theological questions here on the podcast today. Not since Martin Luther has there been so many pointed religious questions that need answers as fast as possible. Yeah, because butt and oral sex is sodomy, right? I guess it's different. Maybe certain people have a different look at what sodomy is. And also, wasn't sodomy named after Sodom, like Sodom and Gomorrah? So was that just like what was going down in that town? Because, by the way, that's a rad town. Hey, welcome to Sodom. We got a McDonald's, and we got a light rail now. So you're going to be able to get from one side of town to the other really fast. We got a fantastic public library. We have municipal fiber, so very cheap, very, very fast internet. Home prices are still very low, so it's time to buy now. Still have a Barnes and Nobles in case you want that. Also, everybody is butt fucking and sucking dicks, and we have an In-N-Out Burger. So, you know, it seems like a pretty good place to be. Sodom, if you were in my butt, you'd be home by now. And then all these motherfuckers got turned into salt. Is that the origin of, like, when people get too salty? Don't be salty like that one time that God turned everybody into pillars of salt. I'd look back at Sodom, too. If I had to leave, like, man, I was butt-fucking and getting my dick sucked, like, all the time. Don't look back. Wait, hold on. We need God here. Let's see if we can get God. Let's see if God's on the line. All right, let me see. Is God Margaret. There? It's me, Margaret.
Hello.
It is I.
Hold on.
Yeah, there we go. Hello. It is I. Your
why am I? I am God.
I gotta say, God, you sound a little bit different than how I would imagine it. Why do you sound like you are some sort of bizarre robot of some sort?
I am not a robot. I am your God.
A lot of really interesting questions. So first off, God, if okay, let's just see if we can get past the fact that you sound like a weird alien creature that has encased himself in a robot exoskeleton. Why can't I look back at Sodom and Gomorrah? I was having a really, really good time there. It's where all my friends are.
If you look back, you will turn to salt.
Like immediately?
Yes, immediately.
But why? I mean, like, look, number one, God, this is going to be a little bit weird, okay? And we're already off on a weird start here, but we'll see what we can do. God, have you ever experienced butt fucking?
What?
Have you ever experienced butt fucking?
What?
Have you ever experienced, like, wait, do you have a butt?
I have no butt.
Well, that probably explains a lot. I mean, if you don't have a butt, then you probably just, I mean, wait, how do you poop?
I poop through my mouth.
You pooped? Are you really God?
No.
Then why did you, I feel like a real horse's ass here. Who are you?
I am.
It's just me. It's Satan. I got this funny voice thing, and you know, I just really wanted to use it.
But you know, Satan, you have a butt though, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally do. It's great. It's, I use it for everything, you know, pooping and butt fucking, and, you know, sometimes I'll just use it to store things. Like, I don't have a lot of pockets, I'm Satan, so, like, I'll just, put a little plum in there, just for safekeeping.
A plum?
Yeah, a plum. It's, you know, I like to keep a bit of a fibrous diet. When you're here in hell, it's hard to kind of keep toilet paper, so you want a good solid BM, if you catch my drift. Otherwise, you know, you try to bring toilet paper down, you get it delivered with Amazon Prime.
You have Amazon Prime in hell.
Yeah, they deliver everywhere. It's great. It's like such a great value. But you get it delivered here, the whole thing goes up in flames. I mean, I live in a lake of fire.
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that was just a fun joke. It's not sacrilegious. It's me, master of mischief, Satan. I guess I'm just going to let you know, you're doing a really good job. I just wanted to jump on in here and say that. But also, I don't know what God was up to with that, like, Sodom and Gomorrah thing. Like, I mean, I wish there was a Yelp for him. Like, I would just leave the funniest comments. I would just say, like, oh, like, rude. That'd be the headline. Rude. I watched this guy turn two people. Was it two or more? I don't know. I can't remember. I saw this guy turn his family, another family, into pillars of salt. 1 out of 10. I will not return.
You and who would that be for?
Oh, you know, like the hearts and minds of an entire world. Like, I think it would just be fun.
I think this bit is kind of ended.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, bye. I'm Satan. Hail me.
All right, there we go. let's go ahead and get into some of your emails here. Dominic wrote in. Of course, you can write in to Justin Robert Young. Oh, wait, hold on. We got a call. Apparently, somebody was waiting until the Satan bit was done. Hello, you are calling the show. Oh, shit. No, you didn't. You didn't call the show. All right. Dominic writes, a long time back, I ordered some stickers from Stickers or DIAF, and once they came in, I slapped them on basically everything I own. One of the items is a water bottle that I carry with me everywhere. On this water bottle, I put the sticker with the drawing of you and the text of, why, yes, I have many diamonds. I now carry this bottle at work as well as somebody... I carry this bottle at work as well. And someone asked me if the person on the sticker was me. I did a quick glance, gave a chuckle, and said, no, it's a person from a series of podcasts I listened to. Didn't think about it again, went about my day. Fast forward to last weekend, I was at a company-sponsored event with my water bottle, and I was asked repeatedly if the sticker was me and wanted to know what the meaning of the saying was. I got asked so many times, I hid the water bottle so it wouldn't be a distraction. Personally, I don't see it, but I do find it amusing. I realized this morning, oh my God, people think I had stickers made of myself and I put them on everything that I own. So I now put this up for everybody to judge. And if you are watching here either on Twitch or on youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung, you will now see this guy, a picture of this guy, a picture of the sticker that he got, and, of course, a picture of me. And I have to say that while I don't look like this guy at all, the drawing of me does look like him. We have very similar beard patterns and a fairly similar haircut. It's a fairly amazing situation. So there we go. Dominic, I would greatly encourage you to not have that sticker. Buy more stickers and put other stickers on top of that sticker. All right, I think somebody's calling in now, so let's see if we can get them. Hello, you're on the jury show.
Mahoy, Captain.
Mahoy, who's calling?
It's Big Jim.
What's up, Big Jim?
Permission to come aboard.
What's up?
So real quick, the spearmint nitrate stickers that were in the DIF sticker pack, which, by the way, if you haven't gone to Stickers or DIF, please go there now. Buy as many stickers as you possibly can.
Indeed.
But the spearmint nitrate stickers, I've got it on the back of my ID badge.
Uh-huh.
And everybody in my office thinks it's me.
They think it's
you. You've seen me with my big goatee and they think it's me. They think that picture of the spearmint nitrate did of you is of me. It's very odd. It's very odd.
That is because weird. Because you don't have a beard.
Where can I get stickers like that? Yeah, I can't believe you got a sticker yourself. That's cool. Where can I get one? I'm like,
So wait a minute.
Very odd.
Like, the spearmint nitrate sticker is me with a big old beard, right?
It's you with the beard, but because the way it's drawn, the beard, you don't have ears, and then the beard doesn't go all the way up to your hairline. So it looks kind of like a really long goatee.
Wait a minute. Mel, but a goatee ends, like, kind of where your mouth is, right?
Normally, yes, but this is comedic art, and so...
So people, you know, people believe, and by the way, this is the same thing that is an emote for Night Attack, right? Like Dan
correct,
Wally
correct.
Right now in the chat room is posting
yep.
the same yep. thing that we have a sticker of, but then it's like, oh, I guess maybe it does look like a dragon. Now I'm looking at it now, It is looking like that. By the way, and this is also, people are saying that it could be anybody in a craft brewery. Maybe just bearded dudes all look alike. Is that the case?
You know, I have yet to be confused with many other bearded people, but it's possible, I guess.
Well, maybe just illustrations of bearded dudes all look alike. Would that be safe?
You know, I think that's actually a pretty safe bet, because, you know, when you look at pictures of I'm trying to think of some very famous bearded comics, and I of course none are coming to mind right now, but yeah, I mean, a lot of them do look alike.
All right, I feel like we are
more investigation needed.
Yeah,
we are
here for this investigation. Thank you so much, Big Jim. Does North Korea have a list of approved beards? You want to know what? Like, we're going to try and call Tom. I have no idea what we're going to talk to Tom about, but this is normally what we do during the show, so we're just going to try and do it. Fluffy Frog says, thankfully, I don't get confused for bearded people. Ninja Steve says, I'm bearded too, but I don't have any head hair. Yeah, maybe bald bearded dudes are their own thing. I think Dominic, who wrote in, though, that is an uncanny a situation. If there were a Venn diagram between me and Dominic, the illustration that I got, is certainly in the middle. All right, Tom is busy right now. We will see whether or not he calls us back. Cappy wrote in. By the way, Cappy was the guy who had to be the best man his best man fucked up and didn't plan his bachelor party, and he was emailing in last week to ask whether or not he should just plan his own bachelor party. So he wrote back this week. Cappy, I had a shit best man, or sorry, Justin, I loved your feedback, and my fiance was like, yeah, that's what I've been saying. So basically, I told him to just plan his own bachelor party. He's got too much stress planning a wedding. This is all about making it to the end of this entire journey. Take the pleasure that you are afforded out of this situation. Don't let somebody fucking up ruin it for you. Just go ahead with it. Cappy writes, my fiance had a good laugh through your response. Thank you for that. Never would I really be so pissed at my best friend in such a way to end our friendship. I ended up getting everybody in a group chat and laying it all out with my available weekends. They all figured out something like Sunday the 22nd. It's cutting it close, but it did all work out. On a side note, I had to order another of my best men his slacks and shirt myself because, well, he's been too busy since December. Ooh-sah. Deep breaths, he adds parenthetically. Also, I did listen to Jury Moore while it was happening. I sent you guys a bamboo washboard. Hopefully it's been useful. Indeed it has. Thank you, Cappy. And by the way, congratulations on your wedding. My suggestion to anybody getting married, survive. Survive in advance. That's all that fucking matters when you're planning a wedding. Not how you did it, not if it was perfect. Survive in advance. That's the only thing you need to focus on. Jason wrote, loving the show as always. Wanted to give some quick and hopeful constructive notes. I love the call-in and the interview of James, and I think your old idea of doing an interview show of interesting people who do or deal with interesting stuff would take the jury show to the next level. It doesn't need to be too planned. Call out to your listeners for interesting crap that's happened, interesting crap that a person does, whatever it is. So you're so good at interviewing with your very apparent journo skills that you could get orange juice out of a lime. That's a very nice saying. Thank you. You can just do a straight-up call-in show and really dig into the interesting stuff with your skills, or loosely have a person plan on and being able to call them anonymously to go over awesome stuff like that. Well, thank you, Jason. Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about that earlier, and maybe part of this is just me having to just do more interviews, just schedule interviews. Maybe that's what I got to do. Maybe this is going to be the way to go. I don't know. Who knows? And finally, Anonymous Diamond writes, do a summer tour. Do it. Go to bars and coffee shops, and please, just do it. Make me stop trying and just do it. What do you need for summer tour? How many subs.patreon.com do you need? Do I have to bully you? Do you need to block me on twitter.com because I added you too many times? And you're like, come on, man, I have a life. And maybe spamming my Twitter feed wasn't a good idea. But, like, no hard feelings. But also, stop adding me. End quote. I get sad and say, oh, man, I was just tweeting. Sorry, man, I got carried away. And then we hug it out because it was just an awkward situation on my part. Anyway, please do a summer tour. I want to thank this anonymous author because there's a lot of truth to this. And I can tell you that there are plans in the works to do more me on the road. This is a big goal for the year. I really, really, really want to do it. And I can say that for Night Attack fans, I would block off, I believe, I'll tell you what. You want to know what? Let's go ahead and take a look. June. Yeah, June 16th and 17th. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. June 16th and 17th is when I would suggest that anybody in Southern California blocks off their schedule, specifically or if you are in the San Diego or Los Angeles area. Live shows, special guests. On Twitter, I made mention that I would love to be in D.C. for election night this year. That would be amazing. I put in a few calls in on that. And beyond that, for Jury, I feel like I really just need to know what Jury is a little bit more to do a show. But although that's never stopped me in the past. I mean, I just kind of set a Patreon goal and then headed out on an In Your House tour. So we'll see. But thank you. I want to thank anybody who pushes me to do stuff that I wouldn't otherwise do. Because it does absolutely mean the world to me that you guys care about me. And you care about this show. You know, this was the show that really started it all in terms of me doing anything one mic. And it will always mean something that people like. I don't know, you guys. I know sometimes, you know, people like me. It just makes me feel really good. It makes me feel really good if people like me. All right. Send your anonymous emails about Mormon dick soaking or any other silly stuff like that to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, that is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. We're going to give one more call to Tom Merritt. And we will see whether or not we can end with Tom. Otherwise, we will just shuffle our feet off the stage. Uh-oh, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tom Merritt. How you doing, Tom?
Oh, look who it is, Justin Robert Young.
I'm going to let you know that due to some scheduling shuffling, you are now not only live on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung, but you are on the Jury podcast.
Oh, I don't know if I've been on the actual Jury podcast before. This is quite an honor.
Well, there you go. We like to surprise our guests by not telling them that it's happening.
No, that is a, I am a big fan of reducing, reusing, and recycling. So I support this 100%.
Listen, I think both you and I are cut from the same cloth in terms of our output of podcasts and our reliance on efficiency. So I like to imagine that this is using every part of the buffalo. We are getting like five uses out of this phone call.
We are two men on every part of the buffalo.
All right, so I'm going to just rattle off for you real quick things that we talked about. I'm curious to know whether or not you are aware of any of these things.
Okay.
And by any of these things, it's really just one thing.
Okay.
We read an article about the Mormon soak.
The Mormon soak.
Are you familiar with the Mormon soak?
I do not believe I am, certainly not by that name.
This is, according to an article in...
my team get back to you. Oh, wait, sorry.
According to an article in MelMagazine.com, which then uses an example, like a first-person example of this with somebody who is a Presbyterian, so I don't know why the Mormons get all the credit for this, but apparently for women who are young women who want to guard their virginity, the Mormon soak is insertion with no movement. Still. Totally. Completely.
Yeah, no, I was not familiar with this, Senator.
Okay. So not, you're not familiar with the Mormon soak.
Yeah. So this is not like the Super Bowl shuffle.
This is not. This is. I mean, I can almost assure that nobody who was doing the Super Bowl shuffle has Mormon soaked, but we don't know. Nobody don't really knows.
Also, first question you should ask in this modern era in which we live is, who is Mel Magazine? Every time you read something, ask, if you don't already know, who is this source? What is this magazine?
So I have no idea. I know by the looks of it, it is a publication that is a medium on the Medium platform, because it's using all of Medium's fonts and stuff.
Okay.
We can just go to the front page here. It appears to be a collection of Medium posts that either they are commissioning, or they are finding and collecting. So
founded in 2015 in Los Angeles by Dollar Shave Club.
Oh, really?
According to their own about page.
So this is a Dollar Shave Club play for...
I guess so.
Although they don't have any Dollar Shave Club ads, but maybe...
Magazine. There's no playbook for how to be a guy.
Yeah, so I get they're just kind of pushing toward the Maxim...
It's a poor man's modernrogue.com.
Well, there is that. Although I don't know if Modern Rogue would be doing anything about the Mormon dick soak. But I mean, maybe. I mean, I'll tell you. Now you can pitch to them on their forum. So maybe I'll throw that in there.
Yeah. No, I was not familiar with that term.
All right.
I'm going to put it in that little part of my brain where I keep Cleveland Steamer.
Yeah, you know, I think it's already enough that I've ambushed you on this show. I don't need to pursue any further lines of questioning on the Mormon dick soak. Tom, we oftentimes use this spot to go over what we are going to talk about on the Daily Tech News Show. But I just want to ask you in abstract, because I don't know how much we're going to do this on the show. I would suspect that there's not necessarily much of a need for a Mark Zuckerberg versus Congress wrap-up today.
No. We have, in my opinion, we have covered everything there is worth covering. I suppose Sarah might pick an email about it, but we have so many emails about other cool stuff that I don't even know if that'll happen. And I don't think there's anything new since yesterday. Like, it's all been fairly well chewed and worn and grounded.
Absolutely. Well, then for those, number one, everybody should be listening to Daily Tech News Show, so go and do that. I'm just going to ask you this question.
All right.
On a scale from worth something to worthless, where were those collected 11 hours? Where do those 11 hours rank when averaged together?
So... it's easy. The knee-jerk reaction is going to say totally worthless, right? Because much of it was. The majority of what you saw was charitably called grandstanding. There are a lot of very naked appeals to future campaign commercials. I was able to ask Mr. Zuckerberg about conservative bias.
Yes. If no one
asked him about Palantir, I pinned him to the wall on all of it. Okay, whatever. Yeah. Right.
When they came for diamond and silk, and I stood up and said something.
Yeah. That was a lot of it. Some of it was, I think, you know, and these were the rare comments. I think they were well thought out questions about what the issues are. And a lot of those came from Senator Thune, Senator Klobuchar, Representative, now I'm blanking on his name.
I am shocked that you decided to start trying to name all of them.
They stuck out because they're like, oh, that's actually a decent question. That's why they stuck out to me. And I'll be honest, I watched more of the senatorial one, which is why those. Oh, Representative Pallone of New Jersey. They asked some good pointed questions. Even then, it's reasonable to say, you know what, though? So what? So they ask a question and Zuckerberg says, yeah, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Or, you know, you're absolutely right. We're real sorry. Regulation, sure. We'd love to talk to you about it. We don't think you should go too far, though.
Yeah.
None of it was surprising. There was no shocking revelation. Among the shocking revelations were Zuckerberg says there'll always be a free version of Facebook. So you're saying there's a chance, right, that there will be a paid version. Real parsed stuff like that. Zuckerberg admitting that his data was involved in the Cambridge Analytica leak, which is like, the guy uses Facebook a lot.
Yeah.
He's the CEO.
It's kind of his job.
Yeah. So I think if there's anything good comes out of this, it's awareness. It's raising the level with the constituency to understand, oh, this is what's actually going on.
Yeah.
That's where the question is how much more do people realize what's going on with Facebook? Accurately or inaccurately after this, because while it was huge, this was the Oliver North hearing of tech news.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people outside of it were aware of it any more than, oh, there was a segment on the news or there was a bit in the paper about that Mark Zuckerberg went to Capitol Hill. Well, isn't that interesting?
I do think it broke through to the mainstream.
It definitely did. It's a question of how much. Yeah. Is it, well, that was interesting, and then forget about it next week?
Well, I think it
understanding as a populace.
It broke through to the mainstream because Mark Zuckerberg is famous on a level that none of the other tech CEOs, save for Elon Musk, really are. Because
Musk, Gates, Jobs.
Yeah.
Like, nobody really knows Tim Cook yet.
Because he had the movie. So you know the movie caricature. Yeah. You know,
everyone uses Facebook. Yeah. So everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, I know Facebook.
It's very forward facing, right? It's very, very consumer. So the one thing that bothered me, and I'll let you go on this, but the one thing that did bother me was during the Senate hearing, everybody getting all up his butt, Zuck's butt, about how long and complicated their TOSs are, or their TOS is.
Okay. All right.
And I'm for simpler TOSs.
Uh-huh.
However, I do find it laughable that it is the Senate that is, famous for bills that are hundreds of thousands of pages long that they have to vote on within 12 hours would be the one to say, you really need to calm it down, mister, with all these words in your terms of service.
Yeah. Just because they're a pot doesn't mean they can't call Mark Kettleberg the same color as they are. I listen to politics, politics, politics. I understand. It is hypocritical, certainly.
Yeah.
And my take on it has been, and I actually wrote my weekly Patreon column about this. There are two things that came up that probably won't end up being the takeaways, but I think are the good takeaways. Like if we started working on this problem as a society, it would really improve the internet for everyone, not just improve Facebook. One is terms of service. Every single legislator had to dance around the fact of, well, look, we know you legally told people what you were doing.
Yes.
And yes, we know they had control over what information they shared, but it was really complicated. And they didn't understand how to do it. And I was like, yes, go follow that road. That is the road. Don't go back and start talking about like, well, you know, you should have done more back in 2015. Forget that. Go down the road of, should we have rules that require you to make your terms of service more easy to understand and easily accessible? Should we have opt in to data collection instead of opt out the way you do it? And that's why I gave props to Representative Frank Pallone Jr., because he's the one who asked that exact question.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't we have this all be opt in, not opt out? And Zuckerberg said, no, I don't think so. And Pallone said, well, I'm real disappointed in your answer there. And I'm like, yes, finally, like somebody getting to what's actually the problem, which is a principle of the internet is when you opt people in, they don't realize it and it causes problems later.
Yes.
Every time. Now, the problems may not be as big as some, but this is that principle in action. And it's like, hammer on that. I'm not saying make it the law to opt in, but let's push to say like, hey, the best practice should be to opt in. And if you're doing opt out, you're going to have to really prove that that has to be done. You know, maybe we give the FTC some power there. I don't know. But let's have that discussion. And let's talk about the fact that terms of service are essentially unenforceable. That just putting up a big, long legalese, like every legislator admitted that in their argument. So let's just make that like, oh, you know what? We're going to pass a – but this is where I say, yes, pass a bill that says putting up a big, long legalese statement that people can just press OK is not informing your users.
Well, I almost feel like there's two different problems here. Like, yes, that is where you are signing into the thing, but I don't know if any corporation is ever going to say no to the lawyer that's like, no, all of these bases need to be covered before you march forward.
No, I'm saying you have a bill that says, yeah, you still need to cover your bases, but you have to cover them in a way that people understand.
Yeah. So that it's just a cop-out to add more and more words.
Yeah, well, exactly. And to bury it in a huge, long, rolling piece of text that basically says, you know, don't read me. Every once in a while, there's somebody's like, I read every terms of service. I'm like, that is very unproductive of you.
Yeah, but number one, shut up. Stop it. You know, I mean, go back to your Mormon soak. you know, I found it hypocritical. Although I do think that part of this is just education once you are on the platform, right? That the idea that we are going to make the most informed decision at the point that we click yes on the TOS seems kind of counter to how I have experienced the internet, where I do want to enter in, but then maybe I don't want these other things once I see them, right? Or once I experience. Like, I really need to know what I'm trading off first.
There have been some great efforts like Ulalizer to say we can translate. We'll be a third party, so you're still legally covered.
Yeah.
We'll translate terms of service for people. Let's work on that. Let's make that real so that people get a fair idea of what's happening. And one of the things we did at Tech TV when I was there, because our marketing department, our sales department were like, gotta opt out, gotta do opt out. Otherwise, you know, we just have too low a numbers, you know, gotta opt out. And I was like, no, that is a bad move. And we compromised because I found a study in Australia on something called forced answering, where you say you actually get a higher level of subscriber when you forced answer. Because when you opt people in, they aren't a quality audience because they don't know they're there.
Yeah.
They don't want to be there.
All right, here. Tom, tell you what. I do apologize. I gotta rush you off, but I do have something that just popped up and I need to go take care of. But ladies and gentlemen, Tom Merritt, Daily Tech News Show. Go get him. I love you, Tom. I will talk to you later.
All right, thanks, man.
Peace. All right, and that's it. I love you guys. We are out. Till next time. My name is Justin Robert Young. This is the New Look Justin Robert Young program. Remember that your old pal jury asked you to please don't. Die! Do you say we both just leave? Why is there more here left to see? I don't understand, is it me? Am I that difficult to read? I love
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.